Right now, hopefully it's time to bring in Cynthia Hostwinder and Janet Manco from the Lakeville Journal. Cynthia, I know you're there.
I'm here.
And Janet, are you there?
Yes.
There we go. All right. Mm-hmm. It worked. All
right. You do it every week. You're pretty good at it.
Sometimes the fingers just don't work right. I don't know why.
We all have that experience.
All right. Two big really stories on the front page of the Lakeville Journal. One, which we'll get to second, Democrats dominate voting in most area towns. But the first one is a real nice long story on schools and COVID-19. And right now in Litchfield County in South County, Massachusetts, in Dutchess County and Columbia County, COVID-19 numbers really are exploding to levels that they were in the summer and above.
Yeah, it seems like the numbers are actually increasing over March, but fatalities, so far, knock wood, are lower, and we seem to be getting better at treating. But if you watch the state's COVID listings, there is an increasing number of hospitalizations throughout our county, not necessarily at Sharon Hospital, but definitely a time when maybe we want to think about quarantining ourselves a little bit more and treat it a little bit as though it was March again. But Deborah Alexinas, a great researcher, really great reporter for us, has been following COVID-19 and really focusing on GEAR, which is, I have to say, GEAR does a good job, and they've managed to keep all the different parts of the campus pretty separate, so that the Y is separated, the physical therapy section is separated. There don't seem to be numbers in those two parts of GEAR, but definitely the numbers are continuing to increase, and in spite of their best efforts, and it really is, you know, reminds us how hard it is to stop the spread once this disease gets in and starts to move around. So Deb talking a lot about GEAR, but also the relatively knockwood small numbers at our Region 1 schools. There was a little bit of a spike, and at the Hotchkiss School in Salisbury, they seem to have all done a pretty good job of stepping right in, closing things down. The schools are open, but they've tried to isolate those cases and those individuals in the community who had a positive test case.
You know, I think the schools, because now Taconic Hills has had cases in schools. Weebatuck now has a couple of elementary school cases, of course, Region 1. I think the schools are being very out front, and I think they're handling it extremely well. And, of course, we don't know what the future will bring and how it brings, but I give a lot of credit for all the work that was put in by these school systems to protect people. They're being very transparent, and they're doing a really great job. That's all I have to say.
Transparency is so great because it keeps people from panicking and spreading rumor, and that's what we always call when we have an uncomfortable question to ask people. It's better if you just say what the situation is than if people start talking about it and spreading stuff back and forth on social media. Bill Pond at Noble Horizons, Kevin O'Connell at GEAR, Lisa Carter at the Region 1 School District have been phenomenal, and also our governor, Ned Lamont, have done a phenomenal job of making sure that people are informed and that rather than spread misinformation, they can go to the source and find out what's actually happening.
And Ray Castellani over the Weebatuck School District is the same as Lisa Carter. Very open with the parents and with the students, extremely open. And that adds a level of, you feel a little bit better when that happens than not knowing. So they're doing a great job.
Well, they are, and we have that as the top story in the Millerton News this week, so everybody knows.
Yeah. I want to go on to the other stories. And, of course, you've got a little chart out on the front, right on the page, that shows that the turnout was indeed larger in all the towns, and that even though Litchfield County as a whole went and voted for President Trump, the extreme northwest corner of Connecticut was in lockstep and really voted heavily Democratic.
Yes, as it generally tends to do, and voting tends to be split in three divisions in our towns. There's Republicans and there's Democrats, but there's always a very large number of unaffiliateds who can go either way. So we did see, and it was interesting to see how the parties split. You can see our voting charts per town on page A8. It was interesting that the ticket was split and that there were people who voted for a Republican state representative or state senator but did not choose to vote for the incumbent president. So very interesting numbers, and then we do have a chart of what the voting totals were from the last presidential election and from this one. And not exaggerating, lots of more people turned up.
Absolutely. But the ticket splitting was really amazing from the top of the ticket to everything else. It really stood out. It just like a boom. Holy smokes. So that was just, that's interesting to take a look at. I guess historians will look back at this and chew on the numbers. A couple of other stories, though, that you have. Region 1 students are now earning grants from the Northwest Connecticut Community Foundation.
I'm happy to say that we're finally getting some of these grants and scholarships on our family and friends page, which we had had so much news and there were so many important announcements, we weren't really able to get these notifications in. But scholarships are really important to students in our area. The grant process is beginning now for next year, and we're finally able to report some of the people who did receive grants over the summer. So there is money available for students. You know, even with COVID, we're so proud of our students for continuing on with their education.
All right, the inaugural recipient of the Trailhead Blaze Your Own Trail Scholarship, $1,000, awarded to a Housatonic graduate.
My Baird, yeah, that's right.
Congratulations. Also, I remind people there's a car parade rally about Alzheimer's coming up at Lime Rock Park this Saturday. That is from 9 a.m. to 10:45. And, yes, they are following all the COVID restrictions and everything like
right.
that.
And stopping in to see some of our residents of our care facilities who are really locked down and could really use a little entertainment.
All right, Sharon, the Hotchkiss Library had another great Zoom event all these Zoom events that have replaced the book signing goes off. And once again, it's a very pertinent story, learning about the inner workings of the CIA.
I'll tell you, there is something to be said for these Zoom events where it might be hard to get somebody to take a day off and come up to the Northwest Corner to give a talk or to sign some books. But most of these people, world-class as they are, as Chris Whipple is, are willing to take an hour and a half to be on a Zoom talk and talk about their book and answer some questions. And, of course, when you have the added incentive of being interviewed by Brian Ross, who is a famed investigative journalist and lives in Sharon and is a board member at the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon, who would say no to that? So Chris Whipple talking at great length about his very important book on the Spy Masters, How the CIA Directors Shape History and the Future, which was reviewed in the New York Times, I think, just a few days before the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon Zoom talk. So they're doing a great job, and more coming.
And you've got a story that we've talked about with out of the Sharon News, and that is Carbon-Free Future, the Green Bank offering help to towns.
Yeah, and it's an interesting moment. There's somebody driving around and offering to do, free solar panel installation, which is always, whenever you hear the word free, it makes you wonder. But Eversource does have some programs to help you reduce your electric costs now that they're raising your rates. So, go online and see if you can get some information on that. But for towns, I think these solar panel arrays have been great, and Sharon moving forward with some.
And yesterday in Dutchess County, they did a very interesting thing. They had a parade rally throughout the county with veterans parading through all the different towns. And the reason I bring that up, that happened yesterday, is that in North Canaan, it came out at the selectmen's meeting that they are indeed going to have their parade of lights on November 29th this year.
And as they point out, you're just in your vehicle. It's not like there's a lot of human interaction. So the burden is on people who are observing the parade. Make sure that you do social distance and wear your mask when you're out there. But we are starting to keep track of who's making what plans for the holiday season, which really is starting pretty soon. Do you know what they're doing in Sharon? I haven't heard from them yet.
Right now, there is nothing like that. That is planned. No parade of lights or anything like that. But
no tree lighting.
They're going to figure out how to do it. Yeah, they're going to. I'm positive that the tree will be lit. It's just a question about whether or not they'll have anything afterwards, like hot chocolate and stuff like that. But that'll come out in the next week or so. I want to move on because two different towns and two different turnouts. Salisbury Affordable Housing Project at the last minute was withdrawn, and they're going to make some changes on it when they bring it back to the public. And in Falls Village, the selectmen there have turned down a request to hold a referendum on the housing plan.
Right, and so in Salisbury, as Patrick would say, they're being very shtum about what's going on. Nobody will say exactly why the plan was withdrawn, but the general sense is there had been a lot of pushback from the community. The general sense that we're getting, and we could be wrong, is that it's not so much that they've been that they've decided to withdraw the plan altogether. They're responding to concerns that the new design is unattractive, and they're trying to redesign it. And it's interesting. George Massey, who's very involved in this process, had sent us an old postcard of the original building there, and not you know, clearly they looked at that original building when they designed this new one. It's too bad they can't make the new building look just like the old one. It's quite cute. But we will keep an eye on that. And then in Falls Village, it does seem like that train is moving pretty fast forward. And people in town had asked for a referendum on the plan, which they can't do. I'm surprised that they didn't ask for a referendum on the housing zone.
I think that's coming next. I think that they just wrote the wrong petition, and it was a petition that the town had to not act on because the plan has already been approved by the Planning and Zoning. So you're right. There's other ways they can tackle it. But getting back to the Lakeville story, you know, I think all they have to do is just kind of make that plan a little smaller, and I think it'll fly by with colors. But I was amazed at how it reminded me of the building that used to be there. I thought they did a pretty good job in setting that up, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the old building is really cute.
Yeah.
You know, this is just my opinion. This has nothing to do with Lakeville Journal coverage, but it does seem like Pocket Knife Square is that beautiful big building there, and it's been very hard to sell. And it feels like it might be actually a good thing for the owner of that building and for the town if they just renovated those properties and turned them into apartments. But what do I know?
Right.
I'm sure somebody thought of it. I'm sure there's a reason why it can't be done. But
I know. All right. I want to go to the story about the Salmon Kill Road project. It is moving along.
Slow but steady.
That's right.
I always take Sam, like on the rare occasions now when I come to the office, I always drive by there. And Janet had a cute photo that was sent to her this week of John Whalen, I guess, was it, standing by the pump. I guess they'd had to sleep next to the pump overnight.
Yeah.
All right. And I like this, your food for health, emergency preparedness. It's time to make chicken stock. I make chicken stock 12 months a year.
Yeah. You know, chicken, my daughter said to me yesterday, what's your favorite soup? And I said, well, chicken stock, because it's the basis of everything else that you cook in the kitchen. And I think of the chicken stock as being this, you know, full day, and then there's all this fat. This is a very clean but very delicious and actually surprisingly simple recipe. So as you're eating your roast chickens and roast chicken breast or whatever, just take those bones and throw them in the fridge, in the freezer, and then pull them out when you've got 5 pounds worth or a couple pounds worth, which happens faster than you would think. And you can make some beautiful stock pretty fast and easy.
A couple interesting story on the page A7. One about the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon. They have some new plans for the library expansion. And also, that which we knew all along, Region 1 will have their FFA holiday store, which will open up, I think, on the 22nd and run through, I think, the day before Christmas, like the 24th.
Right, and no production this year. Production is super fun for the people that participate in it. And if you've ever wanted to learn how to make a wreath or roping, that's your place to go. So I think that we're trying to get hold of Wayne Jenkins, I think it is, to see if he'll do a step-by-step with us for readers. But above all, we'll keep running this announcement saying the FFA Holiday Store will be open. You can come and buy your trees, your cabbage cheese, your poinsettias. You were very casual about that Sharon Library expansion plan, which has been presented before and defeated. And there's a lot of reasons why this time it might go through, but it's not going to sail past.
No.
And but you know, having lived in Sharon for a long time and having used that library, it's a wonderful library, but it's very cramped and it really could use some renovation. And they will, I feel certain of it, do a beautiful job.
Okay, before we come back to Compass, I want to go to the opinion and viewpoint pages. The editorial, time to find some common ground.
Right. There is so much at stake that as Americans, we really have to step back and try to pull away from the extremes and pull together. So we make an argument for that, and one of the arguments is locally, regionally, people do find ways to work together, and one of the most comforting traditions we have are the Veterans Day ceremonies that happen every year in our towns, and this year included. Many of our towns still have those ceremonies. So if we can pull together for that, we feel as if we can find ways to pull together on all bases. So give that a read and send us your letters if you agree or disagree. And boy, we have more letters than I thought we would the week after the election. Of course, things are still sort of up in the air with the presidency, but our letters are about all different things. And don't miss Tom Zetterstrom's letter on more info on invasive alien plants. Really important right now.
You know, it's interesting. As much as times change, they stay the same. And you're turning back the pages from 25 years ago, talking about how many part-timers own real estate records. Back then, it was 60.3% of the town's privately held acreage.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I did that. Norma Bosworth, who does that column for us, pulled that out, and it is fascinating, and it is still something we're all very interested in. So, also, don't miss, we have the inaugural column from Lonnie Carter, the Sovereign State. He writes about Biden changing governing in D.C., and we also have Mac Gordon writing about Western wildfires and what we can do to make a difference for the future, and Bill Schmick on food prices.
Well, that's right. Food, the escalating prices, and of course, it's not only due to COVID-19. There's other factors in there, but I think everything that we talk about now, whether it's locally, regionally, nationally, or internationally, somehow COVID-19 works its way into there. It really,
right,
does.
That's right.
Funny
it's
about
such
that,
a
huh?
Things. Yeah.
Very busy virus.
There is a great in honor of Veterans Day, because Veterans Day really could not go off this year like it normally went off on, but still, it went off and veterans were honored. But you have a great on B6 from World War I veterans over there in their own words. This is just a great article, but even more importantly with that, the letter from France and then the pictures that came with it are simply stunning.
That's a spectacular article from Carol Nealand, who normally writes for the Millerton News, and we loved the story and picked it up and pulled it into our paper. And it's running in a multi-part series in the Millerton News. But we really wanted to honor our veterans on November 11th. We did cover the ceremonies that were being held yesterday. And Carol collected from Betsy Strauss, a historian, and from Ed Downey at the Millerton Historical Society, these letters back. And they're just wonderful. It's like reading those, it's like watching that documentary film that was where they took the black and white archival footage from World War I. It's really interesting, very moving, and of course the people that you're reading letters from are the family of people who you know from your area towns.
You know, I want to go back to your front page story, and we didn't talk about this, but it goes on the governor's rolling back the phase two orders. The restaurants that had been open and following the new COVID regulations get hit with the whammy of the colder weather, so the outside dining, when it eventually gets cold, will be gone, and also their hours are being cut back. So once again, the economy is going to take a hit in this area.
Right, and this is a moment really to think about getting takeout, which I wouldn't normally say, like, let's get takeout, but takeout can be a wonderful thing. I think that we're all a little stressed out. I think everybody could use having somebody else cook. And on that note, Janet, do you want to talk about the catering page at all?
Well, and, you know, Cynthia, you wrote all about it too, but we have our Thanksgiving catering banner in the front of Compass, and talks just about that. Support your local restaurants and catering firms who are offering you help with Thanksgiving, and some of the specials are just great. And you know, even if the groups are smaller, it can feel daunting to try to keep up with things this year. So take advantage of it. And Cynthia writes, I'll let you talk about what you wrote about.
Well, one of the things we're talking about is it may seem like a caterer just for my small family. There's only going to be four of us this year,
right,
but maybe this is a week when you get like the whole, you know, get some elderly people on your street or get some people who you know who you might normally have had over and just say, let's get a caterer and we'll split it, and they cook one big turkey, because this is going to be a year when there's going to be a ton of big turkeys at the grocery store and nobody wants to buy them. They're just going to want small turkeys. You know, get a caterer to cook you a giant turkey, and then they'll carve it and split it up for you and make four separate packets, and then you share it with four people on your street. Or, you know, do it as a gift for a neighbor who's elderly and maybe can't cook or get out this year. You know, think about the efficiency of a mass order. But also, we have a recipe for meringue, which is my new obsession, and I made some yesterday, and they're pretty easy and delicious. So you can read that story for the recipe.
You know, also to remind, if you love the restaurants we have around here and you want them to be around next spring, I urge everybody to do takeout at least once a week from area restaurants, simply so they can survive and they'll be around again in the springtime, because this is going to be a very tough winter for all these restaurants.
And this is a time when you can call up a fairly fancy restaurant, and where they're normally response would be like, a takeout order. Now they're going to be like, yeah, takeout order.
Absolutely.
You can actually call Saravan or Woodland and be like, yeah, I'd like to get some takeout.
In your compass section, I interviewed I love Michael Baldwin. Michael Baldwin is up tempo. He reminds me of a young Michael Berkeley. He's always up, and he is going to be the education director here at the Sharon Playhouse.
And like Michael Berkeley, it sounds like somebody who really knows how to talk to young people and get them excited. He has an incredible teaching background. And I know that Robert Levinstein and Alan Wager from Sharon Playhouse are very excited to have him. And good for all of us that Robert and Alan have such a sense of ownership of Sharon Playhouse and are like, we're just going to keep coming up with new ideas. And last night I watched on, if you go to the Sharon Playhouse webpage, they have a link to a YouTube video where Alan interviews this woman with an incredible voice and an incredible history of performing on Broadway. She was in Camelot with Richard Harris, and she's very interesting. And Alan is really he's like a podcast host. He's a great interviewer, does unbelievable research, and had the most fun talking to this woman. And then these incredible film clips of her singing on Broadway, and you're just knocked out by her. And if all goes well, she will be in Brigadoon next year when Sharon Playhouse does that production. So I highly recommend. We'll do a story on that too, but a great lesson in theater history. We have Carl Chayette, who's one of our beloved artists from Sharon and is always thinking also, always creative, and did something so sweet, which is he made this sort of 3D-looking painting of a chair that was inspired by Van Gogh's The Bedroom, and he's selling it with a portion of the proceeds going to the Lakeville Journal, which we're so happy about and really appreciative of. So you can see an image of what it looks like, and you can also get ordering information and price information. Adam Gopnik, the New Yorker writer, again, not like I spend all my time listening to podcasts in COVID, but I spend all my time listening to podcasts in COVID. And Adam Gopnik is a very interesting speaker. His writing, you can tell from his writing, it's very warm, it's very inclusive, it's very human. And so he'll be talking as part of the Salisbury Forum about finding a middle ground again after a very polarizing 4 years. Jane Eckert, the beloved gallery owner who was in Millerton first and has been in Kent for a while, and most importantly is the agent for very beloved Sharon painter Eric Forsman, is moving up to Mass MoCA. She has a lot of connections up in the Berkshires. Find out why. And also the show called Continuance, which we have an image from here, is just closing up at her Kent gallery, so find out about that. Norman Dorson, who was one of the beloved ownership group of the Lakeville Journal, passed away a couple years ago, and his daughter Annie is doing a very interesting, thoughtful talk on AI, which is something that terrifies me. And we tend to think of it as being related to cars, for example, but she's talking about it as a way to do theater. So that'll be coming up as a Cornwall Library talk on November 14th. And speaking of Broadway, down in Kent, Tony Santopietro, who is a very well-known expert on theater, talking to Michael Rydell, who's the New York Post theater columnist. They'll be talking about Rydell's new book called Singular Sensation. And now that I've said that, the song from Chorus Line is going to be bouncing through your head for the rest of the week, I promise you. But they'll be doing a talk on December 2nd about it really was an incredible time on Broadway up until COVID. And then, of course, Hendrix Churchill and Sharon do such beautiful work, and their new farmhouse in Sharon has been honored second year in a row for the Stanford White Design Awards.
All that and more in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. You can find them at tricornernews.com on the web. Get a subscription either sent to your house or pick it up at area newsstands. Guys, we will speak to you again next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, you can find them at tricornernews.com on the web.